Good morning. Did you see that wet stuff earlier? It was like, shoo, gone. It's great, isn't it, that we could come and worship. And as I was thinking, as Michael was praying earlier, that we come this morning to meet with God. Not that God hasn't already met with us where we've come from this morning, but that actually we're in God's house meeting with God. And that we come into worship the one who's got the whole world in his hands, as we often sing. And as I was thinking about that in the week, I just thought how reassuring it is when the world is in absolute chaos that we can depend on the one who has the whole world in his hands. And we can bring our thanks and praise that God has been with us in this last week, in all that we've done or not done, and just to come and to just spend this time seeking his wisdom and purpose. Catherine Hawker writes, "Call to be branches in Christ's body. We desire, we yearn to be connected to the vine. Call to be mustard bushes offering shade to God's creatures. We search for places to plant the seeds of faith. Called to be growing with God in the midst of this world's painful questions, we seek God's nurturing presence. Amen." And as we sing our opening hymn, number 379, we read the words, "His kingdom stretches from shore to shore." Do we believe that? Do we live like that as we sing? And we're going to have to rehearse our amens. I'm starting to feel you're getting a bit lethargic with your amens. Okay, so when we sing amen, let's let it be so. 379, Jesus shall reign where'er the sun.
Jesus shall reign.
Not a bad effort. Thank you. Let's come to our Lord in prayer, and we'll keep that amen going, shall we? Let it be so, God. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you that we can come to your house this morning in freedom to worship you. Thank you, Lord, that we choose and we have the choice to come and worship you. We thank you that with you, every morning is new in your promises to your world and to each one of us. Lord, we thank you for life, life with you, life in abundance. May we never forget the one who gives us life, who is the way, the truth, and the life. Lord, we do thank you for the slight shower that we had this morning. We thank you for the refreshing of the rain and the waters, Lord. And perhaps as we think of people, Lord, affected by the wildfires that are spreading throughout Europe and even in our own country, Lord, we just realise perhaps how much we take rain and water for granted. Lord, I pray as I think of those waters, Lord, that you would just drench us here with your Holy Spirit, Lord, that we would just come to you and seek you. As we were sharing on Thursday, Lord, that we would come and ask, because, Lord, you give us more than we can ask or imagine. Lord, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you that he came willingly to die for each one of us. We thank you for the promises that are fulfilled in Jesus, and that your promises still hold firm for each one of us, even today. Lord, as we opened up this morning, that you invite us to journey with you, to be attached to you as the vine, Lord, that we would be the branches. Lord, how wonderful that you invite us in your mission, in your purposes for this world. Lord, sometimes when we think about that, we feel overwhelmed, we feel small, we feel insignificant. Lord, perhaps we even feel fearful of what the future holds. But Lord, we trust in the one who has the world in his hands and the future in his hands. Lord, please don't let us be corrupted by the ways of the world, the me first mentality that seems to just be seeping into everything that is happening at the moment. Lord, may we seek your kingdom first. May we seek you first in all that we do. Lord, your holy word asks us to pray for our leaders. And we think of the new Prime Minister, Lord, and just pray a blessing over him in all he seeks to do, Lord. We pray for the Christian voices that surround him, Lord, that they will speak up. We pray for our country, Lord, that it would seek a way, Lord, that is of you and you alone. Lord, we do think of those people again that are affected by the wildfires, Lord. We pray for the emergency services, particularly, Lord, who are impacted by them. Think of the bravery of those, Lord, who literally faced the fire. And Lord, we are sad for those who have lost their lives in the line of duty. And we think of their families, Lord, but thank you for them and their bravery. Lord, we pray for our sisters and brothers in the persecuted countries, Lord, who can't meet as freely as we do. Lord, we thank you for them, Lord, and we draw strength from their faith, that they stand firm on the solid foundation of who you are. So, Lord, as we worship this morning, as we come and seek your vision and your purposes, Lord, fill us with your Holy Spirit, drench us with your Holy Spirit. Give us your wisdom, Lord, that we would seek you in all things. Because, Lord, Your word tells us that you will give us more than we can ask or imagine. Amen. Amen. I say the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. And I said as we were praying that we would seek God's kingdom first. So let's sing number 590. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. So as we were thinking about seeking God's kingdom first, that's what I've been thinking. That's why we sang that song, that as we pray, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, as we were thinking about what is our part in God's kingdom coming on earth as it is in heaven. As I was saying, as we were praying, it's little old me, small and insignificant. What part can I play in God's kingdom coming on earth as it is in heaven? As I was thinking about that, and just before the meeting on Thursday, and particularly afterwards, I was reminded of Jesus' parables in Matthew 13, and we're going to look at page 979. It's often referred to as the parables chapter, because there's a lot of parables in Matthew 13. And a few years ago, we actually worked our way through all of them. If you remember, a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Parables are usually short stories designed to emphasize a greater truth. Jesus used them. He would tell a story about people's actions, and each person listening could work out how it applied to their own life in their own time. Within this chapter, Jesus told many parables about what the kingdom of God is like. If you remember, it's very different to the world that we live in. Praise God for that. Jesus wanted people to know how awesome it will be when he comes again and brings his kingdom, his realm, to us. And that everyone, not just when Jesus comes again, but now, would want to be part of it. Because we're called, John says, to be kingdom people now, not wait until Jesus comes again. It starts off with the very familiar sower and the seed, the good soil. If you remember that people hear the word of the kingdom and that our faith and lives would exemplify it and produce a good harvest. He then goes on to speak about the wheat and the tares, that the world would see a difference in us as we wait in patience within it. May we shine like the sun for the kingdom now. Jesus told his disciples that through his parables, they had been given the chance to understand the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. And I'm going to alternate between kingdom of heaven and kingdom of God because they're both the same thing. So I'll ask Pauline if she will bring our reading to us this morning.
The reading this morning is from Matthew 13, verses 31 to 35, on page 979 in the Pew Bible. And it's the parable of the mustard seed and the parable of the yeast. He told them another parable. The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds come and perch in its branches. He told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 30 kilograms of flour until it worked all through the dough. Jesus spoke all these things to the crowd in parables. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. So was fulfilled what was spoken through the prophet. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden since the creation of the world. This is the word of God.
Thank you. The kingdom of heaven is compared to a grain of mustard seed. We all know what that looks like, don't we? You've seen, yeah, grown mustard and cress. Grows to a large plant if you let it go all the way. And that represents how the kingdom will be great and glorious, just as the Old Testament predicted, because Jesus came, as I said during our prayers, to fulfill Old Testament promises. But not immediately. Rather, it will grow into that state. And I think sometimes we forget, don't we, that we're still growing. Doesn't matter how old we are, we're still growing in our faith. I hope. Christ also symbolized the kingdom of heaven. He's like, you know, it says yeast in the version we have here, but actually it's leaven in the flour. It appears again to be a tiny thing, small amounts hidden among something large, a huge batch of flour. And again, something apparently small. Obscure beginnings will come to affect the entire earth. And so, as we're going to think about that, may God give us ears to hear, as Jesus said to his crowds back then, and understand what it is he has to say to us. As we sing 626, Teach Me Thy Way, O Lord, it focuses on the words of Psalm 25, on finding comfort and guidance during sadness and doubts, storms, and throughout life's journey. Teach me thy way, O Lord. 626. Let's pray. God of small seeds and mighty plants, you take our meager lives and with your love cause them produce acts of loving kindness for you in this world. You hear our cries and find us when we're lost and wandering in fear. You bring us home with you so that we may be made whole, rejoicing in your goodness. Help us to joyfully serve you all our days, knowing that you are always watching over us. Prepare our hearts to receive your word and spirits to respond in eagerness to serve you. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to think about small things becoming huge this morning. A bit like my filing pile in my study. It started small, it is now immense. The ironing pile that started off as a little hillock is now a mountain. But it'll go down. I don't know about you, but as I journey through the world and reflect on all that's going on in it, I feel very, very small. and very insignificant. I use the word chaos frequently because I can't think any better way of explaining it. And as much as we perhaps try not to be sucked into what's going on, we cannot deny that it is happening. And praise God, we can bring everything to Him in prayer. Even as we try to be church here in our own small way, we are met with struggles and challenges that in our own strength seem seemingly insurmountable. But in God's kingdom building plan, as we have heard from today's reading, small beginnings have huge results. So from Thursday's meeting, from the word this morning, don't fear. God has us in His hands. I was listening to a popular musical program, and for those who have watched or listened to the musical Les Miserables, some of you, so I know who I'm talking to, and those will just go, yeah. You may be familiar with the song Little People. It's not one of the ones that they play all the time. The little lad, Gavroche, shouts liar to Inspector Javert as he tries to conceal his identity to those that are on the barricade. In doing so, he goes on to sing, and I'm not going to sing it. So don't believe a word he says, because none of it is true. This only goes to show what little people can do. They laugh at me, these fellas, just because I am small. They laugh at me because I'm not 100 feet tall. I tell them there's a lot to learn down here on the ground. The world is big, but little people can turn it around. Yes? Who's singing in their heads? I can see you. So today, let's take our smallness and seemingly insignificance as individuals and as church and hand it over to God. Because as I said on Thursday, that we pray with a newfound confidence, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. For God can do more than we can ask or imagine. But He still wants us to ask. Okay, we're not just going to go, okay, God, it's over to you. We still need to ask. Today we're thinking about two very small things that Jesus intended to use to teach a concept using elements that were common, easily recognized, and usually representational of something else. They themselves have importance, but if we take them literally, we lose the point of the parable. Jesus spoke about small things and found significance in what might be easily overlooked. Perhaps that's how we feel. Have we ever considered our part in the kingdom of heaven, in the here and now? As I say, we haven't got to wait till Jesus comes. Let's let Jesus look at our lives and even as what we do, our humble tasks, to see if He might not lead us into wisdom and vision and truth at whatever stage of life we are. If we look through God's word, He describes the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God, as Jesus refers to it, as the realm, as Him, as the Messiah. We talk about the king and his realm, don't we? Great Britain and the Commonwealth. Jesus is going to be king one day, king and Messiah of his realm. In this current age, the kingdom of heaven is spiritual, existing within the hearts of believers. Do you wonder why your heart feels full sometimes when you realize it's nurturing the kingdom of God? And whatever makes God sad makes us sad too. The kingdom will be manifest physically when our Lord Jesus establishes his throne on the earth. And so we read in verse 31 that it is like a grain of mustard seed, which I suspect Jesus used because it was possibly the smallest seed known to them at the time, but grew into a huge bush. How does that help us as readers now to understand God's activity that Jesus establishes as the kingdom of heaven? First of all, we need to have that affirmation that the kingdom is present. Through the sown small seed suggests its presence is small and invisible in ways. But like all smallness, as we've just heard from the words, it anticipates the subsequent large bush. For the gardeners amongst you, you don't just plant a bulb and expect nothing to happen, unless you're a really bad gardener. You expect, don't you, to have a plant, or... Okay, Sally doesn't. We expect something to come from the seeds that we sow, both physically and metaphorically. Sometimes when we spread the word of God, which is also the seed, we don't always see the fruits of our labour. How many people have worked with people or spoken to people about Jesus, never seen them again, and then 20 years later they suddenly say, well, I've just been baptised. And you think, oh, was that the seed I sowed? Or was that the seed that other people sowed? But it's good, isn't it, to know that there's something there and it anticipates something coming. With the mustard seed, size doesn't really matter. Jesus uses a bush or a tree, depending on what pictures you look at, coming from a seed to represent kingdom growth, consistent with the references that we find in the Old Testament in Ezekiel and Daniel. As we look at the parables, as we read through the whole chapter, there's your homework for the next week. The sower, again, is Jesus himself. He is the planter of the good news, which for the one who came to atone for our sins so that we might become fruitful. As we look to verse 32, the mustard seed, while it becomes more of a bush than a tree, can reach approximately 11 feet high. I didn't know that. Because every picture you look at, you see a tree, don't you? Because it says about looking after the birds in its branches. But actually, a lot of the times, it's a bush. It represents the gospel starting very small, but growing to reach millions throughout the world who will inherit the kingdom. That's what Jesus said to his disciples when he sent them to all of the world. The field represents all the people on earth who will receive him. By emphasizing the size of the seed, it may refer to the modest beginnings of the kingdom being realized on earth. Jesus himself, when he came, marked the commencement of that era. He may be signifying to the crowd that from the very modest beginnings, great things will come. And we see that, don't we, when we read Acts of the Apostles, chapters 2, 4 and 5. It does indeed grow very rapidly, dramatically. 3,000 added daily. I'd have some of that, wouldn't you? Be a bit busy then. A few more cups of tea. Need to get another dishwasher. But wouldn't it be brilliant? 3,000 added daily. And then the next mention of the mustard seed is actually seen in Matthew's gospel in chapter 17, where Jesus tells the disciples that even faith, the size of a mustard seed, can move mountains. What a great reassurance those words are. What is seemingly invisible can have an overwhelming impact, like the seeds mentioned in the previous parable. The mustard seed too will produce a yield. We get that vision again from the Old Testament that the nesting birds point to that vision. The birds of the heaven symbolize the people of the nations who have lived under oppression. In God's kingdom, they will find welcome and hospitality. that supports life rather than destroys it. Isn't that something the world needs to see now, isn't it? That we offer welcome and hospitality, that people can shield in the branches as us, as a church. But it also means to perceive and to hear. The tree offers a refuge for his faithful of all nations to rest in him. The tree is rooted in Jesus Christ and has grown a harvest far beyond the initial planting. If you read it in the King James Version, it said it is the greatest among all herbs, growing far-reaching branches beyond natural explanation. In this parable, Jesus teaches that although the kingdom of God started small with Jesus and his disciples, it would grow and spread across the world to unlimited numbers of followers. That's why we're here this morning, worshipping, because God's word has spread. Verse 33 is the second parable concerning yeast that a woman mixes with flour to leaven the whole batch. And it demonstrates the similar emphasis. We read the word yeast. When yeast is added to flour, it causes the flour to rise and is a key ingredient for making bread. Because without it, it cannot be fluffy and light. It is very, very dense. Has anybody had an epic fail with bread when the yeast has failed to do its thing? Yeah, there's a few. Yes. Yes, it's quite solid, isn't it? It's actually almost inedible. The yeast parable, which we read in the NIV, is actually misnamed. Today, yeast comes in those tiny little packets, doesn't it? 7 grams. I know this for a fact. From our supermarket of choice, and I will probably use one later. But what Jesus is talking about is leaven, which is a rotting, moulding lump of bread. And we're all thinking, aha, sourdough. Nobody knew anything about sourdough, did they, before lockdown? And now you can't get a sandwich almost that isn't sourdough. But when you think that it comes from a rotting, moulding lump of bread, well, you may want to rethink our choices. But that's what Jesus is saying. That's what the yeast, as it's put in the NIV, the leaven is. That is the starter. And I think that's a great way of thinking about the way that the kingdom of God spreads, like the starter. Yeast usually symbolizes corruption when we read it in other places in the Bible. The woman we read literally hides the leaven in the flour. It doesn't say, but it says in the NIV, she mixes it. She doesn't, she hides it. That seems to be, again, to make it invisible, in fact, mysteriously and inevitably performing its leavening work. Because you have to leave it, don't you? You have to walk away and leave it to do its thing. You know, not have a little sneaky peek under the tea towel to see what it's doing. It's comparable to a larger amount of flour, the yeast. The leaven is only a small quantity, yet its presence again has big effects. I think as we read that parable, and we miss it, don't we? We don't understand. She uses 3 measures of flour. And we're like, yeah, and? That's enough to make bread for more than 100 people. She wasn't quite feeding the 5,000, but she wasn't far off. Another example of a little can make a lot, exactly what we've been thinking about, and indicates again that the kingdom of God may take hold in hidden and unexpected ways. By means of a time-consuming process, all of the flour was leavened, which indicates God's transformative work in the world. I feel some ways that's what we're in at the moment. You know, I'm tempted to look under God's tea towel to say, God, what are you doing? Where are you? Are you working? I can't see it. But actually, God just says, wait, be patient, my child. I'm not great at that, because we want to see God moving, don't we? Living and active, doing what God does in the world. But sometimes we just have to wait and pray and ask and seek and not try and take a sneaky peek or do it ourselves, because God's taken his time. Without God's reign in our lives, it would be flat and dull. It is the presence of God's kingdom that empowers God's people to live above life's circumstances. Again, something so small and only a little is needed will spread throughout the whole day. Jesus' kingdom that started with 12 men in an obscure corner of Galilee has spread throughout the world because the gospel makes progress. And we see, don't we, that the effects come from within. That's what Jesus says, I'm transforming you from the inside out. Jesus, God, changes the heart of a person, and that eternal change has external manifestations. The gospel influences a culture that works the same way. Christians within a culture, we add an agent of change, slowly transforming it from within. As I often say, we need to be the difference that we want to see. If we're not making any difference where we are or what we're doing and behaving or saying, then there will be no difference. The effect of the kingdom of God will be all inclusive. Just as yeast works until the dough is completely risen, the ultimate benefit of the kingdom of God will be worldwide. Although it works invisibly, its effect is evident to all. Yeast does its job slowly, secretly and silently, but nobody can deny its effect on the bread. The same is true of the work of grace in our hearts. As the gospel transforms lives, it vents and it exerts and can't even read my own writing, inescapable influence worldwide. Read, Paul says in Corinthians, reflect the Lord's glory. We are being transformed into his likeness with ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Can we see that these parables are so much more than small beginnings to huge results? Sin is the virus. Jesus is the cure. Some who know their mustard, and that's not a deliberate joke, more than me, say it is closer to being a weed than wheat. But without control, it threatens to spread and overwhelm. I think Jesus knows exactly what he's saying. The kingdom that I'm preaching is aggressive and risky and will take you over if you let it. Isn't that what kingdom work is all about? Some will try and control it by persecution and ignorance, but it will grow and it will spread. We see the most faithful believers in the world are those who are under extreme persecution, and yet still their faith shines out. And we can be encouraged. Do we share that optimism based on faith? It is so easy to be discouraged by the seemingly unchanging destructiveness of human relations and structures, the overwhelming suffering in people's lives and in the world, to which God seems so often to be indifferent. And we cry, don't we, as the psalmist does, how long, O God, how long? Look around you and inside you at the signs of the presence of the kingdom, often very small, but strong and growing. Like the yeast, the leaven, we must be at one with the rest of the dough. And even the smallest of separations will render it ineffective. May our prayer this morning be that we and the church will grow closer to the kingdom. We would commit ourselves to fulfill the mission of bringing the good news to all nations, and through the Holy Spirit convince everybody of its truth. We may consider ourselves small and insignificant, but with the grace of God working inside us, we will grow and inspire many by our Christ-like lives lived for the greater glory of God. Jesus often uses smallness when describing his heavenly kingdom. Somebody said, these are the most comforting of parables because they show the kingdom of heaven as organic, living with its own life force, growing by trickling increment beyond all our expectations, inviting all sorts of birds into its branches and growing secretly like leaven in a loaf. So beware, because that is what kingdom life is like. Unexpected, challenging, world-changing, hazardous, and filled to overflowing with courage and joy of our surprising, gracious, and outrageously compassionate God. Amen. Let's pray. Creator God, our faith is a gift from you. And you ask us to nurture this gift by our actual acts of faith so that it can grow out and your kingdom shine out of us. I pray that we may set our hearts on your kingdom first. You invite us to experience the fullness of life which you desire to give us. We may feel small and insignificant, but you love us unconditionally and keep us rooted in faith so that we will grow to know you more and know the great love that you have for us and all people. Your grace acts within us and encourages us onwards to share the good news of your love with others. Capture each one of us with a vision of love and compassion that desires great things for the sake of those in need all around us. Lord, help us to see people as you see them. Help us to grow into kingdom people. Amen. As we say, let it be so, let's sing number 631, Tell Out My Soul, the greatness of our Lord. Dear Lord God, we thank you for the mustard seed and the wonders of leaven, and for how these things teach us about your love and your kingdom. Lord, plant your seed into our lives. Help us to work your leaven into our hearts, that wonderful things may happen when we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.